Dat is precies de bekeuring voor je. Okay, about to begin a brand new sugya. It's a fairly short sugya. It almost appears on the surface to be somewhat of a technical sugya, but there are some very important yesodos within the sugya. Some of the things, touching on things that we have spoken about a little bit in the past, at this stage, there's some new things that are going to be coming a little bit later more in terms of more detail. And that's just starts out really almost in a practical question that the Gemara raises, discussing the Shir of Shishim. Now again, just as a background, of course, we all know that the Shir of Shishim, that's like the new way of doing things, like the old way of doing things, the original way of doing things, which is what we need Shishim for. Just find a guy, let the guy taste and shine. So why are we doing Shishim? Why aren't we just doing things the old way? So either because we can't find any guy around, or maybe we need Shishim in certain cases that Tom isn't really going to help us, from Bimino, etc. Or maybe we have some halachic concerns of using Shishim. We have some interesting stuff. Everyone took the Bechina ready? Someone took the Bechina? It was one of the answers to the extra credit I don't want to give away just in case anybody didn't take it. So that's one of the Rabbi Kivegas brought in the Ravah. So there are a bunch of reasons why we may not avail ourselves of Te'imas Kfeil of a Goy tasting. We may end up falling back on the secondary approach of Shishim. And Lemaisa, the way halacha basically is practiced, B'zman, is that bottom line is that that's, of course, what's going to happen. Nobody's going to fail anymore. That was outdated. The newfangled way of doing things is through the principle of Shishim. So the question becomes, when you reckon Shishim, you make the calculus of Shishim, so now a question becomes, well, what exactly goes into this number? What goes into the magic number? So here we have a pot. Okay? There's a lot of food inside the pot. So what do we have? Let's just think of some good stuff we got in there. What do we got? What does the Gemara tell us? Amar Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina starts out, Shem Misharin, Misharin Berotev. You got some gravy inside the pot, okay? Rotev in the pot. What else you got in there? Kippa. What's the next thing? Kippa. What's Kippa?
Bottom of the orange juice.
What?
The bottom of the orange juice.
Pulp?
Orange juice?
Yeah.
Pulp.
We looked it up.
The dregs.
We looked it up.
Orange juice? Plundrila. Doc shall bossar v'tablet ha'mis ase p'shul yakadeira. The gook on the bottom of the kadeira. Okay, so you got this kind of stuff here. And what else do you have? It's good thing we have color codes over here. What do we got? Chatichas, we got big pieces of meat. We got a lot of stuff in here. We got a lot of stuff sitting around this pot. And now what happens? Our last thing, we only have one more color left. Well, he's all guys. Okay. We had another color. What happens? Now all of a sudden some trefus falls in. So we're trying to figure out now whether we have shishim or not. So comes the Gemara and says, I'm Rabbi Chanina. So kishay misharin, misharin beraitim, uve kipa, uve chatichas. So you can be mishayer all the different things that are inside the pot. They're all going to count towards the magic number of shishim. Each one, although they're different tastes, each one in their own right is a davar hamutar, and therefore each one is going to contribute towards the nullification of the taste of the trefus. And then Rabbi Chanina throws in a startling fourth thing, ube kedera. And you mishayer the kedera, within the kedera. Kedera means a pot. So we're not quite sure, what do those words mean? So Gemara has two versions of what Rabbi Chanina meant with that cryptic last thing. So we have two versions as to what Rabbi Chanina was all about. When Rabbi Chanina said that you're Mishaer with the Kedera, either Rabbi Chanina meant to say the Kedera itself, or Rabbi Chanina meant to say what was absorbed inside the walls of the Kedera. So just in case the Gemara, you think the Gemara clarified things, it makes it even more confusing. We have no idea what are those words mean. What does Kedera Atzma mean? What is by the Bola Kedera? What in the world are the two versions of Rabbi Chanina said? So before we read the Gemara's clarification, we only had one vague phrase to explain. Now we have two vague phrases to explain, because we're not sure what both of those possibilities are all about. What is the Kedera Atzma, and what is by the Bola Kedera? So Rashi explicitly tells you what he thinks by the Bola Kedera is all about. So my Bala Kedera, it sounds startling, but I guess we could begin to understand it. Let's see here. Here we have a pot. Is obviously the thickness to the pot. So, yeah, you got to turn it. there is inevitably there's going to be some stuff that's balua inside the walls of the pot. Now, where did all this stuff come from? All the stuff that's balua inside the walls of the pot? It could have theoretically came from before, but it's very possible, and according to Rashi, that's what we're talking about. It came from when?
Right now.
From right now. So here, let's say the cooking took place at 125. That's when the cooking my pot at 125 for kosher foods. A little bit of trade just falls in at 125. And then Gaval, Geschwigin, 10 minutes later, I come running. I go, Gaval, what did I do? I get the rabbi here and turn off the fire. And we start the mishnah. We start to figure out, do we have shishim or not? So the rabbi comes. He comes with his lab coat on, a little Torah experiment. He's trying to count shishim. And he's counting out the kippahs, and he's looking at the sediment at the bottom of the pot. What are you talking about? And he's looking at the pieces of meat, and he's talking, looking at the right. He's got, whoa, whoa, whoa. And finally, he comes with his expert opinion. What's his final tally? Da-da-da, is what? He has? 59. Right, 59 to 1. So short. I mean, how in the world anyone ever make that number? I have no idea. He's so close. He just bumps a little bit. So we have two different approaches to that. So some people will say, oh, come on, Rabbi, you're close enough, come on. What's the difference? Well, who cares? And this rabbi, he's a very religious one, he says, wait, what's the difference? Even if it's kosher, it's strange, makes all the difference in the world. So what do you do? So comes the Gemara and says, oh, I got a Gevalik idea. It's true, the emes is that right now you only have 59 to 1, that's true. But let's not forget, some of the heter that was probably here originally, where is that heter now? At the time when the trefus fell in, so some of the stuff that was there at that time is probably not here anymore. Where did it go? So science tells us it went in one of two places. Who's going to tell me? Where did some of that original heter go? Some of it may have gone into where? Into the walls of the pot. That may be some of this stuff that's sitting over here, right? So in theory, if we added an x-ray visual, we could see how much is there. That would be pretty helpful, because that may help us put us over the top of Shishim. Or it's possible that it's not even here anymore because of simple, what do you call it? Evaporation. So it's very, very possible at one time and at the moment of truth, we may have had Shishim, even though right now, we're just shy, we just have 59. Okay. If right now we only have like 2 to 1, so it's unlikely that we lost 58 parts. But if we're really, really close, so then maybe we have a right to say, may the bola kadeira. Now the term may the bola kadeira probably means, well possibly means, but some sort of means, that not literally what the bola kadeira itself was bolea only, but whatever is gone in the process of cooking, hain the stuff that went into the walls of the kadeira, hain the stuff that evaporated, if you add that, tally it up, so you got here, you got chatichas, so we got, let's say, you got 40 times, and we got kippah, we got 10, and rotev, we have 9, so by the bola kadeira, that's enough to put us over the top, and we got our 60, and we can even start a new government there in Israel, 60, 61 seats, we're good to go, okay? So,
Is this only
a
bidyeva?
Yeah. Bidiyevet. Life is bidiyevet. Lechatchili, you weren't supposed to drop some trefus in there. It's a lechatchila solution to a bidiyevet situation.
So, if you had very little rota, you had a lot of walls, and you
could just... I mean, in theory, you have the numbers. Rabbi Chanin is telling us, my debala kadeira, Rabbi Chanin is telling us is that it's okay, you're allowed to do this trick. So that's shot in my debola kadeira. It's a huge, it's an unbelievable chiddush. It's such an unbelievable chiddush that half the Rishon think it's mamish wrong. But this is Rashi's shot, and other Rishon have this shot also in my debola kadeira. But then Rashi goes one step further. Rashi says, and by the way, my debola kadeira is a chumrah. Why is it a chumrah? The Gemara had two versions of what did Rabbi Chanina mean when he said, Ubikadeira. So one version was my debala kadeira, which is this whole scenario that you can take into consideration something, a double heter that's not here anymore. But that's not the biggest kula on the page. What's the biggest kula on the page, says Rashi? The man Yomo says, Bechdeira Atzma, that's an unbelievable kula. Rashi's about to tell us why he doesn't think we should follow that kula. But before we get to Pesach Halacha, what does the kula mean? So if this is the kula my debala kadeira, you have to scratch your head 100 times and say, so Taka, what could kadeira mean? What do the words mean of Kedera itself? So Rashi is not 100% clear. So the Rashba fills in the details, fills in the gap according to Rashi. What if this is what by the Bola Kedera means, which is a big enough cooler in and of itself, what could possibly be Kedera mean? Listen to this one. This is mind-boggling. What does Kedera mean? So listen to this. Imagine the following. I'm doing my math over here. We'll change the numbers a little bit. So we got Chatichas is, we'll make this 35, okay? So 35 Chatichas, 10 for Kippah, 45, 54, and I even add up my Debalak there, I'm only up to what number? 55. I can't make a Kippah coalition. I need 55 people. What do I do? Where do I go? Nobody, what do I do? What else could possibly help me here? The most startling thing in the world. The pot itself. Well, let's make a cheshbon. How much is the pot corresponding? You heard what I said. The pot. I didn't say kippahs. I didn't say kippahs. But the pot, the walls of the pot proper, how much does that have? Doesn't that add into the cheshbon? Doesn't that count the shishim? So, first of all, how do I even make the calculation? What do you mean the thickness of the walls of the pot? Who am I going to have to rely on for this one? Who's going to help me make that calculation? Who do I need for this one? What? Who?
The engineer, the craftsman.
There's only one guy in the world is going to help me make this number. I'm talking about volumes of chazer. So I know for a fact that 1 ounce of chazer fell in. So I'm going to measure the chatichas, I'm going to measure the keep, I'm going to measure the rechev, I'm going to measure the malu here. And then I want to know the kedera also. How am I going to put a volume, a liquid volume on a kedera? Only one guy in the world is going to help me. Archimedes, right? Eureka! Thank you very much, okay? So I need Archimedes to take a bath. It's in the tub. You guys have a problem, right?
Yes.
Founder of water displacements. For thousands of years, people took baths and nobody thought about Archimedes. They sit in the bathtub and he was thoughtful. By golly! And when he jumped out, Eureka! And he ran around the streets of Athens. Okay, so Rabbi said, there's Rashi. The Gemara knows it. Quotes, it doesn't quote Archimedes by name, but it quotes the principle of what is it? It's a halachic principle also. It's a physical principle. So Rashi says that's what the Mandayama means when he says Bekeder Atzma. So that's an unbelievable chiddush. That's a bigger chiddush than my Debalim Keder. Why? If I would tell you, without having seen Rabbi Chanina, without having seen Rashi, without having seen this Rashba, that, oh no, don't matter. When you have a little bit of chaza that falls into a pot, not only does the chold in the pot help, not only does the sediment in the pot help, not only does the chatichas help, but the pot itself helps to move out the shishim, you would say, I was absolutely out of my mind. Why would you formulate for me why you'd say I was out of my mind?
It's not ochel.
And therefore?
Why would it ever be part of the equation for ochel?
I mean, what do you say? What do you say?
It
doesn't have any tam of itself. That means the idea of bittul tam means I have a little bit of chazer, but I have so much tam of potato soup. I have a drop of milk, but I have so much tam of cholin, so I can't discern the tam. What affects, what impacts, what nullifies the tam of the problematic tam is there's so much other tam there, so the other tam swallows up. But if something is a blank, something is a neutral, something is nothing, so then how in the world could the tam of nothing, how could that be mevatel the tam of something? It's just pure, just basic natural rules of the world. So how in the world could we justify this concept of the Charsei HaKedera being Vatel? It's a very, very strange concept. But Rashi tells us, the Rashi says that's what it means. Because otherwise, what is the other version of the Kul? What's the other Lashon of Rabbi Chanina? So Rabbi Chanina said this very, very cryptic statement, Kedera. And we know what my Debalah Kedera means, which is a huge Chiddush in and of itself. Tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. And now we have another statement of Kedera Atzma. And the only way to explain how their Atma is even more kal is to fall back on the Charsei HaKedera, the Cheres, the pottery, the earthenware, whatever material is, the metal, whatever the pot itself. It's a huge Chiddush, but so be it. So that's how Rashi learns Pshat Gemara. Amrilah B'Kedera. Some are unbelievably makel, even the Charsei HaKedera works. The Amrilah, and others who say, no, we're not that progressive. A little progressive, a little makel, not too makel. Just plain water. So you want to know water has no tam. So how in the world can water? Right? The emphasis on water is mevatel things, which is a little startling. Right? It's a little startling. I mean, it's not so crazy. It's not so different than water. Well, we're not sure why water works, right?
Will this be a raya for Tosos in the first sugya? When we're talking about Tosas asks, why don't we include the rest of the pot? Isn't this a clear proof that you would obviously include the rest of the pot? Pima Shai or Shishim? In the first sugya, Tosas asks the question, why don't we include the rest of the contents?
Everyone agrees you agree. That's for sure you agree.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think this Gemara. There's a piece of the Gemara is talking about including things that are bizarre, including things that are no longer here, including things that are not food. That's what the Chanina is saying, something mechudish there. The fact that you take everything else in the pot, that's the most of the Shita.
Okay.
So again, so these are how Rashi sizes up the sugya. Okay, so very nice. The Rashi is too pshat in the Gemara. We don't really understand why in the world this should work. We have zero clue why this should work, but Rashi said these are the two possibilities. So now Rashi goes out on a limb and tells you, how are we going to paskei two lashonos of the Gemara? Comes Rashi and says like this. The kevadif legal lishne, v'isur diaraisehi, as lina l'chumra v'lo v'sharina v'kedera atzma, probably the gears it should be. So Rashi says like this. Says that's a machlokes. It's two lashonos. Who's going to be machoriyah? Two lashonos. Nehilig chazal. Who knows which lashon is the emes of lashon? So it's blight the sofik. You don't know what to do. So when you have a sofik, what do you do? Well, you should know that. Ready? Sofik deraisa. L'chumra. So says Rashi. Isn't this a deraisa? Isn't this the laws of kashrus? Doesn't that appear in the chumash? Pashrus Shemini. These are kosher laws. These are halachas that relate to this kashrus. This is not bishulakum. This is not muktzah. This is not until shadai. Not nevis chanukah. It's purim. These are serious chazer shailas. These are very, very serious, you know, treifas shailas. So we have to earn this out of kosher, and therefore we cannot possibly accept this view of b'kedera atzma. We even know that it's a man, but we can't accept it. The only sheet that we can't accept is my debolik. That's how Rashi first sets up the sugya. So stop. Hold the phone. Rashi just said something very, very, very significant. Rashi just called our sugya a deraisa de sugya. Now, that is very startling. Why? Because between you and me, we're not discussing eating a piece of chazer. It's not like we have a piece of meat on the table and trying to figure out Jesus of chazer or not. That would be a sofik deraisa de chumra. What we're discussing is we have a tarevis here. We got a pot of mostly kosher food. So once, that's a given. Clearly, the rove is that it's kosher. Once you have a rove that it's kosher, what halacha plugs in? What halacha do we plug in immediately? Bitul b'roiv. Now, minat Torah, we've solved the whole problem except for one little bit of a curveball. What's the curveball? Lo tam ki ikar. Now, we already know, because we've already been learning chulin for the last 2 months, that there is a principle of nos and tam. That's a mishnah. You can't argue with that. That's a mishnah the back on Sadiva. So, you do them first, so the tam poses the problem. But what is hardly agreed upon by everybody is that problem of tam and derais a thicker problem? Or is that only a derabbanan dikar problem? Is tam ki ikar a dimin ha Torah? Or is tam ki ikar only a dimin derabbanan? Now, we should already know, chazer for example, I told you we use this as a springboard for things we spoke about in the past. Nu, kalkomiyan, tam ki ikar deraisa, mananimili, where could that come from? Give me a source. You're going to tell me tam ki ikar deraisa, prove it to me. Nu, come on, rattle off your sleep. What? Huh? Yeah, I hear a lot of. Clear. Klamydia. Okay, I heard the first thing I heard. Okay, Klamydia, one possibility, okay? Is that a good raya? Supposed to call. Is that a good raya? Mishras, Nazir. Good raya? Okay, so we have three yes. We have a big machlekes and we showed him. What's the end of it? Is it yes or no? It's not okay. Hopefully we'll talk so much more about this in weeks and months to come. But just give me the Rashi Prachman Rishon with this one. Who is the Rishon, the strongest Rishon out there, who is the biggest absolute believer of Tam Kikar? The one who thinks Tam Kikar is the Deraisa, the worst of the worst. It's very easy to remember. Tam with the tough and the test, okay? Same Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was the one. By the way, I made an unbelievable discovery a couple of days ago that I never realized before. And I was like totally like, I couldn't, I was like shaking when I came to the realization. There is a, every once in a while, some of the Rishonim refer to Rabbeinu Yakir. And we've quoted him probably once or twice in the past. Rabbeinu Yakir. So I never really knew who that was. So I used to think maybe that's his name, but that's like more like a modern Israeli name, Yakir. So then I thought it must have meant just my dear Rebbe, like just like my beloved Rebbe or something. Right? And then you won't believe what hit me all of a sudden. I don't remember where I had this like this gilug, that the Rishonim were quoting. When the Rishonim was quoting, I think it was a Mordechai. was quoting this Rabbeinu Yakir, and he was quoting the Machloikis, Rabbeinu Tam, and the others, whether Chaticha Nas Zavela applies to other Yisurim or not. And all of a sudden, the dawn run, who Rabbeinu Yakir is. Let's all do it together. Ben Yakir Li Yakir Li Ephraim. That was Rabbeinu Ephraim's nickname. The same way that Rabbeinu Tam's nickname was Tam, because he was Rabbeinu Yaakov. And the same Rabbeinu Yosef's nickname was Rabbeinu the Riporas. Sometimes it tells us Riporas, they Paras Yosef. But that was Rabbeinu Ephraim's nickname, was Rabbeinu Yakir. Now, maybe you guys all knew that already, but it took 54 years to realize that. That was one of my great. I don't remember where I realized that in Eretz Yisrael. I needed like Ruach HaKadosh for Eretz Yisrael for that one. I really got it for, I don't remember. In the last like week or two, I came to that realization. Okay, back to the story. So, Rabbeinu Tam, otherwise known as Rabbeinu Yaakov, Rabbeinu Tam was convinced that Tam kikus derais. That's the biggest machmir, the machmir shem machmir Rabbeinu Tam. Now, the truth to be told, there were other Rishonim who also believed Tam kikus derais in a little bit of a watered down version. Again, we're going to hopefully talk about it a little bit later on, but that means with machmir, without machmir, sometimes, yeah, no. Ketechlus pras. Now, you know, there are a lot of nuances within the Rishonim who said Tam kikus derais. Rabbeinu Tam is the most extreme, for sure, the biggest machmir in Tam kikur. But on the other end of the spectrum, why other Rishonim will say the whole thing will hurt Rami Yehu. The Tam Kikim mit Chilid HaTzayf is on the Midrabban. This process is the Smachter. That's the Smachter Shnik. Who is the Rosh of the Davram of that camp?
Rashi.
There's a Rashi that appears later on. And we're going to, again, we've referenced this Rashi. We're going to talk about this Rashi hopefully many, many times in the next couple of weeks. Rashi Shita is the Tam Kikim is the Rabban, which is already raised as a red flag in this Rashi. Because Rashi is discussing a case of a Tarovis. So we know for a fact that there's a Tarovis here. And we know that we have Bitl Barov. And we're trying to be done whether we have Shishim or not. And the ramifications of having Shishim only impact on a Darabon Digal level. And Rashi throws this crumble at us by saying, oh, by the way, something can rise to the Chumrah. So if Rabbi Tam would have said that, I would have been okay. Other Rishon, Rashi, other Rishon, I would have been okay. But for Rashi HaKadosh here on Daf Tzadi Zayin of the day to invoke Sofik Deraisa L'chumra when a Shaila vis-a-vis Tam is mind-boggling. Who is the one who makes this realization that it's mind-boggling for Rashi to invoke this principle? The Rashba. And the answer that the Rashba gives is even more mind-boggling. What does the Rashba say? So the Rashba says, so long over the Rashba over here, but tucked away in this Rashba somewhere. Because of Uzal, the Kerem Diffligo, it's the fifth line into the Rashba, because Uzal, Kerem Diffligo, Lishtavi, Sur Derai, so as leading the Chumra. Yeah. Where's this Rashba? Oh, 4 lines to the bottom, sorry. Umay shekos of Rashi is out. The havlei trei lishti v'derayis ha'macha. Tamili! Dabe derayis ha'cha b'trei botel. Fadli nishish in the Rabbanu. V'Rabbanu l'kula. So Mustafa the Rashba was well aware of the fact that the one Rishonim will hold that Tam Kikur is deraisa, but the Rashba is assuming for now it's derabbanan like Rashi. V'yesh loymar the cave and the ikaru mideraisa gam b'sofik shira hocham alahachmir. Rashba just told us a principle that undermines our entire view of Yerodeh. This can impact on kam v'kam shal. What did the Rashba just tell us? That when you're paskiting a particular shayla, and you want to know, should I look at it through the Araisitika glasses or through the Rabbanandika glasses? If the origin of the Shaila is a Araisitika problem, even though the particular applications right now are in fact on the Rabbanan, Al Zenemar, what? Safed Araisit L'chumra. You have to also view that through the eyes of Safed Araisit L'chumra. So even though push comes to shove, says the Rashba, right now, if Moshe Rabbeinu would be asked right now, tell me Moshe Rabbeinu, I have this pot, I have a little bit of chazer in here, I'm not sure whether I have shishim or not. Moshe Rabbeinu would say, but you have rov. And then I'll tell you, that's what the Baruch Hashem told me in Har Sinai, Hiram Mahatas, I never heard of shishim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking through the eyes of Rashi. That shishim doesn't exist with Daraisa. So you have rov, so rov, everything's good in that Torah. What's the shot? There's no Daraisa on the plate here. What's the answer? You're right. That the particular shayla is playing out right now by Sheo Shom is a derabandik shayla. But I have chazir, and chazir is a deraisic concept. Why you erase Chanukah, which is the Derabbanan, that you can't take it clearly outside? That is something Derabbanan clearly. Until you see the Haimus, the Derabbanan, that you can't say, as long as they were shot, those are all Derabbanan. But if you have something that started out as Derabbanan, take a shot, it's just the manifestations right now, only in the world of Derabbanan, that is not covered by the Kul. So Derabbanan, Kul, that's the Derabbanan, the Chumrah. Everyone see that Rashba? Everyone take a moment to adjust that Rashba? Anyone can understand the consequence of that Rashba? That could change the world of your day. That Rashba. So you stay the Rashba, but that's Rashi. What's the problem? Who knows what's the problem with Rashba?
All of your day is now the Rashba.
Oh, wow, someone who's been learning for 2 months. All of your day, you're right. Okay, no. At least one line you're there. Which one line? What are the ramifications of this Rashba? Who knows? We spoke about this.
Oh, Tom Kicker's
there. Let's backtrack. Who remembers the famous din in the beginning of Siman Tzadiches? We spoke about this already more than once. The famous din at the beginning of Siman Tzadiches, you have a tarayves, a little bit of chaza falls in, and you're not sure what, whether you have shishim, because a little bit of it spills, right? Remember Nishbach from the Kedera saying you're not sure whether you have shishim or not. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? What's the famous Pesach of Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch, what is the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says you have to go to Chumrah. Why do you have to go to Chumrah? Because the Shulchan Aruch is worried that maybe who's right? Maybe Rabbi Natan's right, and therefore you have to go to Chumrah. But, vice versa, that if Rashi would have been right, what would the din have been? Cool. Then it would have been Lekula. Who is the source for that Shulchan Aruch? Where did the Mechaber get that from? He took it right out of a Teres HaBayis in the Rashba. The Rashba says, the Rashba talks for hundreds and hundreds of pages about, okay, 2 pages, about Rashi and Rabbi Natan. And he talks and he talks and he talks and he talks, and he has it in the Teres HaBayis and he has it in the Chedisha Rashba. And it brings Uriah back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then the Rashba throws his hands up and says, and who could care less? Whether the Tom Kikas deraisa or not. We're religious, observant Jews. We're going to keep the Raisas and the Rabbanans. Why do I care whether the Tom Kikas deraisa or not? Why do I care whether the Shishun deraisa? So the Rashba finally, after pages and pages, comes up with one nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? Sofek. Nishbech menakadeira. According to Rashi, it would be subject to Malakula. According to Tais, according to that would be subject to Raisa Mukhumra. And therefore, Nebuch, we have to be Machbir. And the Shulchan Aruch says, we can't really be Machbir, so we have to treat Tom Kikar as a potential deraisa. And therefore, Nebuch and Shulchan Aruch, what can you do? Shulchan Aruch, with a heavy heart, has to tell you to be Machbir. You have to throw out the pot, you have to throw out the food, because subject to Raisa Mukhumra, maybe Rabbi Tom's right. Stop, hold the phone in the Rashba. What did the Rashba present that is the Nafkamina? This is the test case. For if 10 pages, that's the only case that's Nafkamina Ladina. Mapitom, it's not Nafkamina Ladina, even according to what? According to the Rashba just said here, what? What would it didn't be? Even according to Rashba would be a problem. Because if the Rashba's right here that you don't follow the practical application, you follow the Karon, what the theoretical status was it a Chazar Shaila or not? It should come out that even if Rabbi Adam is wrong, even if Rashi is right, doesn't think it's Rabbanan, it would like to be suffered for Chomer. So the whole thrust of that Rashba, that Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tzadiches in Yerdeya, the ABCs, the first page of Yerdeya, Siman Tzadiches, the Hilchos Tarovas, which is quoting the Rashba, which is saying that the Nafkamina, the great the with a capital T, the Nafkamina Lalacha, which is Rashi Rabbi Natan, is Safek, it's Pashut wrong. According to what the Rashba says here, it's not true. And even according to Rashi, you have to go through the eyes of their eyes. It's a pelagogal on this Rashba. I don't know the answer to this question. The Stira Galuya, everyone saw the Rashba inside? And everyone realized the Stira right away? What? Did anyone? No one? No one realized the Stira. It's the Stira Galuya and Rashba's. Rashba's Yadum of first was the one who put this up as the Nafkamina, and the Rashba over here is the one who turns around and pulls the rug from under us. Like telling us that if you go to the Rashba, it's Safi al-Khum. Very difficult Rashba, very, very difficult Rashba.
I mean, the difference between two statements, I don't know if it's relevant or not. One subject is a subject in Halacha. So do we count the Kedera or just Nibla Kedera? The other one is a subject in what happened then?
So a subject in Halacha and a subject in Matthias. So the only, it's true that Dr. Rimmer is correct that these are two kinds of stakers, but Pashtas Advarim. Svekas in Halacha also a Safek Derais L'Chum and Safek Derabbanan L'Kula. So Pashup Shad is that it is true there's a difference, but we're going to have to say true, but we're going to have to say true but irrelevant, probably or not. Anyway, it's a Tzorchi, and I don't have an answer for the Rashba. If you have an answer, please let me know. Okay, Zolzayin, so what do you do? What can you do? We have to be Machmer. Okay, life will go on. We'll be a little more Machmer than we would have liked to be. Later, we're very religious people, so we're going to have to just swallow that. So we basically are going to bump out this option, all right? So we're not going to go down Chersek Kedera anymore. We're done with this. I mean, between you and me,
I'm not going to lose too much sleep over losing Al Chesek there. You know why? Because quite frankly, what? I had no idea why it should have been true in the first place. I didn't have a clue. It doesn't have any taste to it. The whole thing just is very, very strange. So we're just going to ignore it and just, you know, easy come, easy go. Okay, good. But at least let me hold on for my Devolah Keder for Bilok, right? I mean, that's for sure good. That's the Chumadika version. So now Rashi has an about face. An even stranger presentation of the sugya. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, you know what? I don't like my Devolah Keder either. What do you don't like my Devolah Keder? But the Gemara said it. Rashi says, you're right. But if you learn very, very slowly and you only get up to the Tzadik Zayin and that's where the yeshiva ends the end of the year and you never turn the page, then you're right. But if you're zayich to get Daf Tzadik Ches, you'll realize that there's something problematic with my Devolah Keder also. What's problematic? The Gemara Daf Tzadik Ches actually quotes a machlokes amoraim that seems to throw a monkey wrench into our entire discussion. Why? Let's go back to my Devolah Keder for a second. What did my Devolah Keder mean? My Devolah Keder means that I'm looking at this Taroivis now. Let's see, when did Taroivis happen? It happened at, originally it happened at when?
125.
It happened at 125. Now we're already well into this year. Now it's 150. And when I come and I look at it at 150, I say, oh my goodness, gee, I don't really have Shishim of Heter here. I gotta fall back on what? I better find that one. Remember, put the numbers back in my favor, okay? So we'll put this back to 40. I'm gonna have to fall back on this Maidabolic there. I have to make an assumption that there probably was more Heter here 25 minutes ago. Where is it now? I don't know where it is now. Maybe it's below inside the walls of Keder. Maybe it's evaporated to steam. I don't know where it is. But Mr. Stummer was here before. Good spot. Okay, good. I can recover that. Not so easier to swallow that than the Charsa Keder. So the Gemara of Tzadik Ches actually quotes that Svar, and the Gemara rejects that Svar. Why did the Gemara reject that Svar? For simple physics. Chemistry. What's the chemistry physics? The Isser also evaporated. Didn't the Isser and the Heter evaporate at the same rate? Didn't the Isser and the Heter be nipple into the Keder at the same rate? So you're looking at this pot now, and you have 40, 50, 59, and the end of the Bar Kedera, because what magic number of Isser are you looking at? You thought you only have how many units of Isser? Only one to be Mevatel. But guess what? You got to be consistent, man. If you want to tell me that some of the head there is gone, well, I'm going to counter that argument by saying that what? This is also gone. So what you really have is not one. What do you really have? Maybe what?
0.5.
I don't know. What? No. Right now I'm measuring one. So what did I have before?
1 point.
I don't know. 1 point. Well, let's see. If 1 to 59, so I need like a 1.01. I don't know what I got. Okay? 1.086. I don't know what I got. Okay? Pi. I don't have a number I got here. All right? Well, what's the problem if I say? Once I put this number over 1, so I can get to 60, that's beautiful. Except what? I still have a problem. Because the same way that the number of the Heter goes up, the number of the Isser goes up at an equal proportion, equal ratio. I mean, there's no reason in the world to think that the Heter is Nivla at a faster rate than the Isser. Hard to believe that, right? It's probably all happening the same way. So therefore, comes the Gemara of Tzadik Ches and says, wait a second, although there was some days out there in Amaroyim who somehow ignored that, what seems to be the reality of physics, the Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara said, Atu de Teira Bala di Sur Lo Bala. So although there may have been great Amaroyim, someone as great as Rav Ashi may have thought that way, but the Gemara rejected Amalei Rabbanan Rav Ashi. His all the other Rabbanim in the basement, he says, Atu de Teira Bala di Sur Lo Bala. So comes Rashi now and says, wait a second. In the days back of Rabbi Chanin was 30 years earlier. Rabbi Chanin was a Talmud from Yudan Osis. In the early, early days of the Amaroyim, they seemed to be working, Rabbi Chanin was working with that assumption, like some of the Amaroyim here in Tzadik Ches, that yeah, we can make that statement, that we're not so worried about the Issa being Balua. But once the Gemara that Tzadik Ches ultimately rejects that Svar and says, well, the physics and chemistry don't bear that out. So then once we've hiked this number up to 1.0186, so now, you can't fall back on Bola Kedera, because you still don't have the magic number. Shishim, so you still have a problem. So that's the case. So then, what other cooler just went by the wayside? We had two great coolers. One was Charsia Kedera, which we bumped out, because it's the Suffolk Deraisa, whatever that means.
Now, what's the other kula that just got bumped out? By the bola kedera just got bumped out. So what did Rabbi Chanina mean when he said b'kedera? I have no idea. And I also what? And I couldn't care less, because the whole Rabbi Chanina just went by the way. So we have to be machmir that cheres kedera doesn't work. It's a sfeik at the dima, sfeik at the raisa l'chomer, whatever the raisa means. And now, we have, even though we thought we could have a mitzvah hatzola, at least a hatzola port of my debala kedera, even that goes by the wayside, because that's rejected by tzadi ches. So at the end of the day, which one of the coolers do we have? What's the answer? Neither. Wow. This is a very, very rigid version of orthodoxy over here. We're very, very religious. This cool is no good. That cool is, none of the cools are good. And what are we left with? We're left with sediments in the bottom of pots can help us. We're left with chatichas can help us. We're left with water can help us. Guess what? We're left with what? What exactly we thought the halacha was before we opened up this gemara. We never in a million years thought there was such a thing called by the bala kedera. We never in a billion years thought that was the kedera atzma should work. So guess what? We're right. The Chanina just lost out at all ends. We're right. That's Rashi's presentation. Everyone read the Rashi? It's a startling Rashi. Rashi took the whole Chanina from the Chanina itself, the first lashon gone, the second lashon, and they're both gone, and therefore everything's also. That's what Rashi says.
Does the Aser Blias, do they go, the way they go in, is it the same way they come out? I mean, halakhically, is it the same, like, it's Aser going in, but is it the same?
It's still Aser.
It's still Aser. Even though it's going through...
Unless it sits for 24 hours, because it's down the ground. Otherwise, you got a big problem. Okay? So, bottom line is, according to Rashi, there's very, very little left. Almost nothing left of this entire sugi. So why are we learning the sugi for? I thought it was interesting to get to this point, but now we got more to work.
What was the Havamina to think that you would consider the tom of the metal in the first place?
You have, that was like old. That was like passé. We're done with that. We rejected
it. I waited for Rebbe to be done with the point.
I told you that. I have nothing to say about it. I still have to say that. I don't know the answer. A lot of things I don't know in this subject. A lot of things I don't know in general. I don't know. I know the answer. Okay, everybody say, so everyone's good at Rashi Gavaldik. So is there anything left in this subject we can extract Lamaisa? So comes to Rashba now, and the Ramban, and other Rishonim, and begin to make the following potential deal from the subject. Maybe we erased by the Bala Kedera a little bit too fast. What do we mean by that? Lemaisa, the world of chemistry and physics, the guys, the after 3 o'clock guys are telling us, rabbis, you got the Mabba wrong. It can't be. It can't be. My Bala is not going to work because utter the terrible Disur Labala. But what if, it's a big what if, remember those days, the what if questions? Okay, when Avi used to learn Mishnayos with us in the old days, back in first grade, right? The early first graders, we used to run a Mishnayos Shia run. Who was part of that? Kobe was part of that also. Where's Kobe video? Kobe Diamond was part of that Chevra also. We used to learn Mishnayos together. So finally, after several months of impossibility, we made 2 rules. What were the 2 rules, Avi? Remember them? There are 2 questions you are not allowed to ask. One is, what if? And what if, was the other one? Let's say, right? So any question that started with those 2 terms was automatically possible. So the guys used to like figure out a way to reword it in such a way that, well, not what if or let's say, but if the following would happen, what would happen? It was a disaster. It was a nightmare. And the guys were like pressing away at the potatoes. Remember that? The guys said, potatoes just pretzel probably like stuffed their mouths, and then it was always like, well, no, what if? Okay. So we're going to quote Avi Rothrock for this one. 15 years later. What if the following? What if somehow, somewhere, we could get our chemistry, physics experts on the scene and make the following observation with us? You know, it is possible that not everything evaporates at the same rate. Not everything is nivla into the pot at the same rate. Anyone know anything about physics here? Is that possible?
Sure.
Yeah, it is possible. I mean, I don't know enough about it, but it sounds like it's a pretty, you know, terrible situation, okay? So what if, by golly, let's say altogether that the reality is that really, truly, the heter was nivla much more than the yisur. Whether that means into the pot or into the air, doesn't make a difference right now. Let's say those facts are right. So then what would the halacha be? By golly, what would the din be if those facts are right? Which is 99% of the time they're wrong. But what if we could ascertain that they're right in this particular case? What would the din be? Then that's okay. Then by the bala kedera would have to help. There is nothing halachically preventing us from being mishayim by the bala kedera. What is preventing us is this mitzius objection that at the same rate you're losing heter and iser, so therefore you don't have the right numbers. But if we could somehow play the numbers a little bit and figure out that that in this particular case that's not going to have the case, then guess what? There will be to know. Then in hachinami, it would really work. That's what it sounds like in the sugya. Okay, that's not what the Gemara is talking about, because the end of Rav Chanina is rejected. Because Rav Chanina is talking in general terms, and that he's not rejected for. But in the case where his facts would be right, then the halach would be right. That would be a reflection of that reality. Like the Bala Kedera is real.
You said that maybe in this case specifically, because the tree, we're saying that tree's falling in. So the tree isn't that big. The heter is so much bigger. So because it's so much bigger, it's going to be able to be...
But it's a ratio question. It's a ratio issue. So I'm not sure it's going to help us. You gotta get a PhD in chemistry and food technology to figure out whether that's true or not. I don't know.
The third question is, are we dealing with the mean and zero? Is it the same thing? So then would they be able to, wouldn't they have
at
the same rate?
Well, we got a lot of stuff in here. There's chatichas in here, there's water in there, there's rotas in there, there's kitas in there, there's a lot of other things in there. So it's not such a bad deal, right? Comes the Ramban and makes the diak even better and says, you know, says the Ramban, maybe that's what Rabbi Chanina meant in the first place. What we just said now is Rabbi Chanina wasn't talking about this case with the experts and the chefs and the right ratios. Rabbi Chanina was talking about, quote-unquote, the wrong ratios. But we're just never trying to extrapolate and salvage the halachic principle. The Mada will give up. We don't care about the Mada. Who cares about the Mada? We just want to extrapolate the Torah part of Rabbi Chanina. So we're willing to do that. But the Ramban says, you know, maybe we criticize and reject Rabbi Chanina too fast. Maybe Rabbi Chanina was talking about such a case. When Rabbi Chanina says Misharim b'kedera, he meant not a regular kedera, but Chochma. He knew Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, even though it was written after him. He knew that Ata de Teira Bala Disur La Bala was a reality. Rabbi Chanina was talking about a very unique case of what? Where the ratio is working in our favor. Where the Hefter is being Nifla faster at a quicker rate, at a more advanced rate than the Yisr. And that's exactly what Rabbi Chanina meant when he says b'kedera. And now we have a whole new twist on my debala kedera versus my what kedera means. This is the newfangled version of Rabbi Chanina, says the Ramban. Kedera can either mean kedera atzma, or it can mean my debala kedera. What does that mean? My debala kedera means you have a right to take into consideration what's nivla inside the walls of the kedera. Why? Because we're dealing with a what? With what kind of a case? Fill in the details. Where the ratio is good for you. Not a stam case, like inside a case, but where the ratio is in fact working in your favor. And that's the source for my debala kedera. And the mandiyama that says, b'kedera atzma, is saying what? Is saying what? That means, no. It's a little bit. You have to look what's in front of you now. You can't make these games and play these mice look and say, yeah, you probably had, the experts, chefs have told us, the physics and the chemists have told us, oh yeah, you probably have a good ratio. No. B'kedera atzma. You have to be mishar b'asher hushar. You don't go back into the past and figure out a cheshbon, what it would have been, should have been, could have been. I don't know. B'asher hushar, b'kedera atzma. What just happened according to this pshat and the Ramban?
I have to reread the Gemara.
K'dera atzma is not a what? It's not a kula, it's a chumra, number one. And what great problem does the Ramban help us solve by invoking this pshat? Kirsch is thrilled about this one. Why? Because according to the Ramban, because nobody tastes metal. Metal doesn't give off a taste. Metal's not going to help you. That which Rashi was forced to learn, that keder atzma was a kula, and that kula was chersa kedera, the Ramban says, that doesn't make any sense. Meheka pesa, you can be mishar metal. So therefore, the Ramban's pshat is very neatly avoiding that pitfall of Kirsch's problem. And he's talking about mishar metal. Nobody said that's mishar metal. So this pshat, the Ramban is mamish v'nafechur. The Ramban changed the nekuda in the sugya from Rashi. Rashi said, we're talking about regular pots, regular things, regular everything. And Rabbi Chanina made a sayim al-dibal al-kadeir, and the Gemara Tzadik has rejected it. According to the Ramban, no. Rabbi Chanina was not talking about general. He's talking about in the case where by the Bala Kedera makes sense, you already figured out based on Tzadik Ches, it means when the ratios are working for you, and therefore that's a great cool, that's what the Ikadin should be, makes a lot of sense. And the Mandiyoban says, Kedera, so you can't do that. We can't do that. So now comes the Ramban and flips the whole sugya on its head. And he says, now we have two lishonos, and which one should we paskin like? Should we follow my debola kedera or insist, no, we refuse to follow the kula? What should the answer be, says the Ramban? Well, what team do you think the Ramban was on in terms of Tom Kikar? The Ramban was on the what team? The Dirabanan Dika team. And therefore, our sugya is a shail of what? Only a what? Only Dirabanan. It started out of Deraisa. Who told you that story? It starts out Deraisa, therefore everything's Deraisa. Who made that up? The Rashba. Ramban lived 50 years before the Rashba. So what does the Ramban turn around and say? Well, we're dealing with this suffix Dirabanan here anyway. It's too lashon. This is a shail of Dirabanan Tam Kikar. And therefore, what rule should we follow? Everything about the Ramban is different than Rashi. Can you imagine? Comes out according to the Ramban, my debola kedera was the kula. It meant something totally different. And therefore, we have a right actually to paskin like, because after all, Tom Kikar is only midrabban. So if you can just imagine the godless, here you're having Rashi sitting in France, the Ramban sitting in Spain, reading the same Gemara. And there cannot possibly be two more opposite ways of reading this Gemara. But Rashi saws the Chumra, the Ramban saws the Kula, and vice versa. Rashi said we have to paskin the Chumra, and the Ramban said you have to paskin the Kula. According to Rashi, we have a Mandiyoma that's saying that metal's counting for time, and the Ramban says I never heard of such a wild thing. And according to the Ramban, we have cases that, the ratio is working in our favor, and Rashi says I never heard of that. Any possible similarity in the two opinions is nothing. Zero. Rashi and Ramban, two gedolei olam, read the same Gemara, which goof for the two lashonim to the Gemara was two ways of reading what who said? Rechinin, here before Rabbi Chinin, Rechinin is sitting back in this medrash in Eretz Yisrael, he's sitting back in the year, I don't know, 200 to the common era or something, right? And all he said, he gave shiur one day and he says, language, Hebrew, Aramaic, something, Yiddish, I don't remember the language, right? He said, Misharim b'kedera. And he left. It's like the Rebbe said, Bekedera, he meant my debola Kedera. No, he meant what? He meant Kedera Atzma. And then things went silent for about 800 years. Rashi's sitting in France, looking at his Gemara, scrolling him to the shyness, and Rebbe Chanina said, this is the Chumra, this is the Kula. 200 years later in Spain, Ramban says, no, this is the Chumra, this is the Kula. You choose. Rabbi say, Hayyotzim in HaDvarim. Deim lefi Rashi's pshat, Deim lefi Ramban's pshat. If we really would, honest to goodness, know the ratio properly, and our chemists and our physics and our taste testers and everybody would tell us that the reality is that the Isra and the Heter have not disappeared at even rates, according to the Ramban, for sure it's okay. Even according to Rashi, it's okay. The Rashi was medayak in Rashi. Rashi would agree that it's okay. Rashi's only hesitation was that the ratio is off. But in terms of the ratio is odd in your favor, there's no need to believe Rashi would disagree. Rashi only disagreed. We taught the physics, but we taught the halacha. Rashi is on board. So we have a new din that was just emanated from this. It's a din deraisa, maybe, depending on what you think about here. A new din just emanated that really in our heart and soul, everybody agrees my debola kedera is okay. According to Ramban, that is goof for what the Gemara says. And that is goof what we paskin. And according to Rashi, that's not goof what we paskin, but by inference, we can figure out that would be the din. So it took us almost an hour to come up with this din. We had to figure out all through the Shakmatai, we had Rashi from bottom, Rashi from bottom. But we finally extracted the Nakuda of the Sugya. This is the Nakuda of the Sugya. That if and when the chemistry and physics are working in your favor, I have a right to say, no problem, I don't have Shishim now, big deal, but I had Shishim before. And this is where the... This is where the sugya begins, with this pikkuda. Who's got a serious problem? I don't want to hear physics anymore. Well, who's got a serious halachic problem with this whole notion of my debola kedera? I want you to answer me the following question. I'll throw out a question to you that may sound bizarre, may sound off the wall. Think about it for a second, and then answer me. I have a big, big pot of potato soup cooking. 100 ounces of potato soup cooks, and 1 ounce of chaza falls in. So I bring in my experts. What do I do? What do I realize? It's bottle b'shishim. Good. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Read this, I believe.
What happens 5 minutes later? Another ounce of chazal falls in. Oh boy. Oh boy. 1 + 1 = 2. What's the ratio of 100 to 2?
Less than shishu.
Less than shishu. 1 to 50. Bad news. Kosher or treif? You're the rabbi in town, the only rabbi in town. What do you say, kosher or treif? Who votes treif? Of course it's treif. Why is it treif? Because what do you have now? You have time of treifus in there. We have kosher. It's treif. What's it treif? What's that called? What's the mechanism called? What do I just describe? It's called chayz v'neir. Okay? Chayz v'neir means that you wake up. It means something is like in slumber mode. In sleeping mode, but things wake up. Uri Yishen Mishnaschem. Kishayfer. Wake up. Inside us, we all want to do the Ratzon Hashem. Some of us are sleeping. So comes the shofar and wakes it up. Shalt over here. The chaz is trying to cause problems. It's trying to wreak havoc on this pot of potato soup. It's ready to pose for battle. But what? But it's outnumbered. It's outflanked. It's got 60 to 1. You didn't kill it. It's waiting for reinforcements. And the reinforcements come and save the day. And now it's able to win. It's 50 to 1. It doesn't matter. It's able to hold off. To withstand the attack, and it retains its status of Isser, and we have a serious problem in the Torah according to many Rishonim. That's like no sabshita. Anybody in the world knows that. That's Pasha, right? Pasha dad ma'oid, chayz v'neir. What could possibly be more Pasha than that? What in the world is the difference between my Debol Kedera and what I just described? What I basically described were two different scenarios of undermining Shishim. You can undermine shishim in one of two ways. It's very lom de shavart. I have shishim and everything's great. I breathe a sigh of relief. Shishim can disappear in one of two ways. Either by doing what? By adding more iser, or by what? Or moving some heter. Shishim is a ratio. So l'chara doesn't make the slightest bit of difference what upset that balance of shishim. What undermined the ratio of shishim? What the din of chayz v'neir tells me is that it is not enough just to have shishim at one time and then it's mutter, yotzer, double heter, and don't bother me anymore. What shishim means is it has to remain in the matzav of shishim. It means at the time that you're eating this food, it has to still retain the characteristics of shishim. If not, you have a problem with the rice in here. It's chayz v'neir. So what manishtana, whether I add more iser or I subtract some of the original heter, at the end of the day, b'asher o'shom, I don't have shishim anymore. So comes the Ramban and says, I don't understand what I'm talking about. I just showed you this pshat in the Gemara by the Bala Kedera, which basically means that if and when the numbers are okay for you, even when the ratio was taka at the right and the right amount where we'd like it to be, so we have a right to pask in mutter, even though between you and me, is the shishim now? No. But don't, it evaporated. The heta's gone. Right now it's 40. Right now it's 49. We're not 59 and a half. It's not shishim. But it's okay, says the Ramban, because it used to be shishim. What do you mean it's okay? The fact that it used to be shishim and now it's no longer shishim, that is the halach equivalent of chayz v'neir. What is the difference of removing heter or adding yisr? The chen kashal Rashi, because again, even though according to Rashi per se, Rabbi Chanina never talked about this case, but the Rashi was inference from Rashi that in terms of learning the physics, chemistry would have been right. Rashi would have conceded that it's mutter. What do you mean it's mutter? How are you talking it's mutter? What is the difference between this and chayz v'neir? That's the kasha that Ramban and the Rashi propose. What's the answer to that kasha? Pele ploim. There's probably no answer to that kasha. Pele godol.
One underwent bishul afterwards and one didn't.
So, what does it mean?
So it's when you actually cooked it.
I'm eating, I'm sitting down at the table. I'm going to sit down and take this pot and start tasting away.
Yeah.
Right? Is whatever time of Isser is there, is it possible shishim right now?
Right now, no.
So how can I eat it?
Because when you cooked it, it was about
the
shishim.
That's chazuneh. So right now, it's not.
The really concept of like having just a tom of shishim, meaning like you wouldn't have like volume of shishim, but still there's tom.
What do you mean? But at the end of the day, yeah, I'm a very practical, simple, down-to-earth guy.
Just tell me, bottom of the case, chazer or not. If you're going to tell me that the only thing that confirms there's no tam here is the number shish, I don't have number shish here. From sitting down at the table, I don't have shish in front of me. Mani shidana, whether I have this or whether I subtracted heter. Let's say, what do you think?
That the chiddush is that the walls of the pot are considered.
Now remember, let's not forget. I drew a picture here of when the Gemara says by the bola kedera, was it literally only bola kedera? Things disappear in one of two places. Either they go into the walls, or where else do they go? Up into the sky, right? Now we're in the sky. That's the olmos halyonim. I mean, you know, we don't want to connect heavens and earth, and a lot of people like to do those kinds of things. But I don't know how to do that.
Let's say they just all went into the pot.
Oh, you're changing my facts here. You're changing my picture. I got a picture of evaporation going on here, and you're telling me my spluch. Everything's going to the pot. I don't know the answer to that question. So this is the problem that the Ramban is posed with, the Rashi is posed with, all the Rishonim are barred with this discussion. There's one Rishon out there who didn't understand what's going on. Why the Rishonim are barred with the discussion? He would have left already. He said, yeah, of course. Because remember, I just, you know, for drama purposes, I said, yeah, do you mind? Who raised the hand before and said Chayz B'neir? I laughed at you. Who said no Chayz B'neir, right? Remember you said no Chayz B'neir? I said, that's most ridiculous. I've never heard such a silly thing. What kind of rabbi are you? You never heard of Chayz B'neir? Anyone know a good rabbi, great rabbi, never heard of Chayz B'neir? Anyone know his name? His name was the Ravid. The Ravid said, yeah, this is Chayz B'neir. We asked the Kashi, what? Would anyone in their right mind ever say that if I poured a little chazer and then now later I poured a little, would it be mutter? What does the rabbit says? Yeah, it would be mutter. It's not a mutter. And the rabbit says, forget, there's another klal in Chazal that is the contradiction to the rule of Chazer now. What's that called? That's like the longest of that phrase appears in Rishon, doesn't appear in the Gemara. And what is it? Rishon, right. Comes the rabbi and says, if you look at the other sentence of the Zohar, you'll notice that there's another cloud of Chazal speak up called Kama Kama Bokhtel, Rishon Bokhtel, which seems to be the exact antithesis of Chayz V'Neir. So, Rabbi, you got to stay tuned for a few weeks down, a couple of sukkahs down the line. We're going to come back to this rabbi, why the rabbi is so problematic. But if the rabbi would be right, that would solve it. That would be the easiest solution to this problem. Anyone just give me an idea how the rabbi could be right? It boggles the mind how the rabbi could be right. Do we show him quote the rabbi? And they say, I can't believe he's right. I'm tasting chazer. Tasting chazer. It's chazer. It's chazer. How can he be right? Mitzvah says you're tasting chazer. According to the rabbi, you can do it more than once. You can do it 100 times over. And still mutter. You have a chazer soup? Hey, about this, the chachiva. According to the rabbi, if you drop some chazer in, then an hour later, drop them more, an hour later, drop them more, an hour later, drop them more. That's a great way. You ever want to taste chazer soup? That's the way to do it. It's mutter. Kama, kama, bok. Mutter, 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 mutter. Everything's mutter. Mutter, 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 mutter. Let me, I taste a chazer. What's the answer? Catch this one. No, who's going to tell me? Why is it mutter? Taste a chazer. What's the answer? You're right, taste a chazer. So what? What does the Torah say in Al-Adi? Chazer. Torah doesn't say in Al-Adi, it's something that tastes a chazer. You're not allowed to have bacon, imitation of bacon chips. Do it taste a chazer? I don't know. How would anybody know? Just because something tastes a chazer doesn't mean it's treif. It has to be halach l'chazer. Well, this is not halach l'chazer anymore. You know why? Now Dr. Berman can tell me why. Because it's a nepach l'zeter. It's a dovra mutter. Bittul b'raif, or bittul b'shish, but the original numbers led me down the halachic path of saying, this chazer is kaman d'leisa, so I don't have chazer anymore. Now, it's true that after doing the stunt a few times, I have something that tastes like chazer, I have imitation bacon flavor. It's not halachic bacon flavor. Why? Because the bacon is what? It's bottle already. The bacon was long bottle. So I have a tam of chazir, but not a chefzef of chazir, and that's okay, says the rabbi. Okay, put that on the back burner for so back burner that we're never going to see it again because that's like a das yachash or bichidim. So all the Rishonim were bottled with this kasha in Chulun Daf Tzadi Zayin, who are saying, what did we just create? We just created a monster over here. We just created this kula of like the Bala Kedera. According to Raman, Rabbi Chanina created it. According to Rashi, the Rashi Rudas Rashi, we created it by inference, according to Rashi. But there's such a concept called like the Bala Kedera, you could be Mashiach using things that have evaporated, using things that don't exist anymore. What happened to the basic ABCs of your day? Isn't that a violation of Chayz V'Neir? So the only one who could save us is the Ravid? That's very hard to believe. That's why the Rosh HaMadaber Menar Sugya, The Rishon HaSugya that's leading the charge, leading the fight, leading the attack, is none other than who? Than the Ramban. Because the Ramban, did I put the Ramban on the Ramban Kermis? I didn't put it on?
Yeah, number 4.
Mm-hmm. That was the second part. Okay? That wasn't the Ramban and HaSugya. I put the Rashba on.
He quotes him in the Rashba.
The Rashba quotes the Ramban. Right? So the Ramban was the Rosh HaMedabrim in HaSugya, even though he's the one who learned this pshat in Rabbi Chanina, and Rashi, in effect, is applying it also, and the Ramban says it doesn't make any sense. What happened to Chayz Vinei? Why is the Ramban leading the charge with the Kasha? Because he's the one who leads the attack against who? Against the who? Against the Ravid. The Ramban, the fourth of the Ramakamis, Ra'isil HaRavid Zal. He says, "Issa sheni mokol chela v'dam husa kavaseishim yipol issa l'sacha hetam ma'at ma'at she'ema neisim tam b'shas tefila api shenobo issa kol yagul muta rishon rishon botel." He says it's impossible. The man says, "Lo yitochein like the Ravid." So, lo yitochein that the Ravid is right. So then, what's the answer to the problem? The Rabban has to solve the problem because he learned this pshat in the Gemara. So, what happened to Chayz Vinei? Who knows what the Ramban says? Uh-huh. Everyone knows what the Rashba says? The Rashba quotes the Ramban? Quotes the Mishnah, Maseches Trumas, Ma'aseh Lach.
Like one
more than half. Ramban Zal, the Kila Nismat Dech Bishul Ubalak Der, Mishenofo Sham Isser, Shishinitl Haraitev, Opichsa Biyadayim, the Hasan Vadi Yasser. What is the Ramban saying? This case is better. It's better than all the other cases of Chayz Vinei. All other cases of Chayz Vinei are there's human intervention. I'm adding to the Isser, or I'm actively removing the Hetek, the Rabbi Bishnan Trubas. Over here, how is the ratio changing? How are the numbers? How is the Shishim getting messed up? Through what? Science. Nature. The rules of nature. The rules of evaporation. The rules of Belias. It's all happening by itself. It's up to Ramban. If it all happened by itself, nobody precipitating this. Oh, Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Azen Emar, don't bother me about the Chayz Vinei. That's what the Ramban said. That is the difference between the two sugyas. So Chayz Vinei, I'm the biggest anti-Chayz Vinei person around. I don't believe the Ravid Shtikul Torah about Chayz Vinei. I don't believe the Ravid's denial of Chayz Vinei. On the other hand, this does not pose a dilemma, does not pose a challenge to Chayz Vinei. Dr. Ramban, you know why? Because it's all happening by itself. Whew, Baruch Hashem, now everything's great. Everything's gevald, everything's murdered, good to go. We could never say this with chutzpah. You know, pacha nerve, oyum tachas kapas haramban. But if one of you guys would give me this teretz, I would say true but irrelevant. I said, Ma inyan shmitah tzasim, what is that doing? What in the world is the difference? It's true. I agree 100% right. Ramban's 100% right. Therefore, what? Do you know what the Rashba says about this Ramban? What he says? V'eini roa lazeh ikar. So, I don't see a difference. I don't see any main difference. That was the Rashba's way of saying true but irrelevant. V'eini roa lazeh ikar. What kind of difference is that? It's a Peladika Ramban. It's a super duper Peladika Ramban.
Is it possible to say that? Didn't we say that the reason why Shishin is looking good is because there's so much of the Hetter that the Tom actually goes away?
But the problem is, but that's the Ravid talking, but according to Ramban, the Maisa the Tom comes back. If you add more, Chazer comes back.
How does the Tom, like we said, like by the
it doesn't go away really. It's really still there, it's like they said. Right now, I can't taste it, but it's still a Chayz Vinei. Even the Ravid agrees, of course, you can taste it with the Ravid. It didn't taste better than me. I mean, of course, the Ravid can taste it. But the Ravid say, I can taste it, but that's irrelevant, because it's Nasa Hetter. Isn't it what you said? So the Ramban is almost a pillay ploy, one on top of another. The Ramban's Hopshah in the Gemara was gefaldic, opposite the Rashi. Then the Ramban turns around and says, then the Ramban is the Rosh Medavid with the charge against, because it's an anti-hysteria of exerting the Ravid. And then the Rabban falls back. By the way, the whole hand by itself don't bother me. What did Rabban mean? Can you run with the Eichon? Can you run with the Eichon? Can you run with the Eichon? Just run, Rabban. No? How serious a problem do we have? According to Rabban? To what degree of problem do we have here? Are we in the world deraisa or the world derabbanan, according to Rabban? How do I know? Proof me that we're in the world of derabbanans. Because the Ramban opted for the more lenient version of Rabbi Chanina because he sided with the Rishonim who said Tamkik was only what? So derabbanan anyway. Minat Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu already signed off on this Torah as long ago with Bittul Berov. Now we're just tippling, have we sufficed that the Rabbanan dicker number? Could the Ramban be telling us the following? If we were in the world of the Araises, so then it's a sham, it's a joke. Of course you need Bittul B'Shishim now by Sheo Shamach. Probably had Bittul B'Shishim last week. What does that help me? It's Chayz V'Neir. But Minat Torah, nothing was a problem. Minat Torah, Bittul Berov solved the problem. It's all a Chumah with the Rabbanan. So with the Rabbanan, maybe one could argue that to suffice on a level of the Rabbanan, as long as we got Shishim to start with, we're okay. Now, if we personally tamper with that Shishim, we start adding in Chalav, we start adding in Chaza, we start doing things to undermine that Shishim, that doesn't look right. But if it all happens kind of, nobody really is paying attention, it's all happening by itself, and stuff is evaporating, everything. So again, if it would be the Raisitika problem, then you need the Raisitika solution. But if all you have is a Derabantika problem, then a Derabantika solution is sufficient. Maybe all the Ramban meant was, since anyway we only have a problem with Derabban, as I proved to you in my first presentation of the sugya, Tamkik is on a Derabbanan, hey mamru, that if the number Shishim get messed up a little bit, but they get messed up, not because you messed them up, they got messed up on their own, maybe we'll look the other way. That's the best I can do for the Ramban. And more than that I can't do. Maybe, as a Libetzchos for hearing the Ramban. But Rabbi said, the Pashas, if you don't go down, we're saying the Rashba's right, any role is an Iker. I think the Rashba meant that as a joke, when he says Iker because of time figure. I think it's like playing on the word a little bit, maybe. I was just wondering about that. But any role is an Iker, says the Rashba, that the Ramban's Pshat is not right. So if the Ramban's Pshat is not right, so how could we salvage my Debola Kedera, according to Ramban's version? Or how can we salvage the Diuk of Rashi, that if the numbers are right, it should be okay? What happened to Chayz V'Neir? So tomorrow, we'll have to see another approach to Rishon, the Rambam's approach, which is Ka'ain the Ramban, but the Rambam's going to change one piece of physics, one piece of chemistry, that may be able to salvage the entire sugya. Tomorrow, we'll pick up with the Rambam.